What's the intro? Welcome to Brits in the End Zone.
Well, what have you done for the last 42 episodes?
All right, let's go. Hey, let's go! Brits in the End Zone. Come on, let's go! Hello and welcome to Brits in the End Zone.
Hello.
Today we are joined by Charles and Greeny. Sadly, I won't be able to stay for long, but just wanted to say hello and pass over to the guys who know all there is to know about the American Football League.
Well, you can go back to drinking upstairs now, can't you?
Yeah, I'm done.
When you say you can't stay for long, you literally meant bye. For those of you who have missed him, you know, all two of you, you might have noticed that Greeny is back from Australia. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I'm back. Someone on the phone said I've got a bit of an Australian twang, but I don't personally hear it, so let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm back. Anyway,
Adley is lurking.
Really come on back, Adley. Oh, we missed you.
Adley's got his trousers down. Unbelievable.
I'm going for a very serious meeting, goodbye.
Again, no one knows why you're laughing.
Well, he literally took his trousers down. He had his arse out.
It's a beautiful arse.
Okay, well, this will happen. New Charlie will have to have some fun editing this. That'll be good. Okay, welcome to the episode after that fun intro. We thought this episode we would cover the playoffs about to happen in all their shapes and forms in real life NFL and fantasy NFL. But first,
because the season only starts now, really.
Well, yeah, really. Well, for the teams that still have anything to play for. But let's have a look at some of the news that's been going on recently. I mean, for me, the big news is that Blake Bortles has been benched for Cody Kessler officially. And that, well, kind of spends the L of Blake Bortles' era in
Jacksonville. So is it going to be a one game just to show there's competition and, you know, how Geno Smith came in for the Giants last year?
I think that's it. I think that's it for him. Honestly, that's the end of the... That's the end of it.
That's the end of the bottle. He's hit the end of the bottle.
they took a gamble in the summer. They gave him a
2-year contract.
Essentially a 2-year contract, like kind of commitment, and it hasn't paid off. You know, the Jags are on a 7 match losing streak,
which is hilarious.
I mean, that is unbelievable. We started 3-1. We were looking very good. And, oh, my God.
It's when Jalen Ramsey started started talking. He started running his mouth. And then he got a bit too comfortable running his mouth. And then he started internally, you know, just calling out players. And that's when it started to implode somewhat.
I guess. Also, we had a lot of injuries. I mean, especially on the offense, which is...
I'm a Chargers fan. Don't talk to me about injuries.
We've actually had more injuries than the Chargers this year. But, you know, that's the end of our season. We're 3-8, and, you know, it's a shame.
So you're 3-8, so you've lost 7 in a row since signing Ereck Flowers from the Giants, who I don't think he's won a game this year.
He probably... No, because the first game after we beat them. We beat the Giants. So, actually, yeah. The only game...
Maybe he was just in, transition. He wasn't part of a team yet.
Exactly.
But the saddest thing about Bortles is the Bortles Facts Twitter page now has to go underground somewhat.
I know. Well, hopefully now the Jags have basically got to look forward to the draft. I mean, that's what it's... Well, most Jags fans are used to that over the last 10 years. Last year gave us some false hope, but we're back to where we used to be and where we are used to being.
Yeah, and I'm grateful to see you in the position that JP has been in for the last 2 years as a Browns fan.
Absolutely. I mean, I was going to say, who'd have thought at the beginning of the season that out of the four teams we support, the Eagles, the Jags, the Browns and the Chargers, that, you know, the two teams that got to the championship games last year in the Eagles and the Jags would actually be having, you know, the worst seasons. I mean, the Jags, obviously, we've spoken about, have been awful. The Eagles have looked really bad and not... I mean, they've... Again, their secondary has been littered with injuries, but Wentz and their offense has really been struggling. Apart from Ertz, I mean, God, it's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a mess.
And I think there is a... I mean, if you go through history, teams that win a game without the consistent, you know, winning or making the playoffs beforehand, like into the build-up of their Super Bowl, there tends to be that second season syndrome. And I did actually say pre-season that I thought the Redskins would finish and make the playoffs with the Eagles not making the playoffs. So
fair enough. I mean,
I don't know the Redskins will now with Colt McCoy.
You've been back 5 minutes and you've already bigged yourself up out of a preseason.
Well,
prediction.
No, I just think it wasn't that unexpected for the Eagles to, you know, to still be celebrating last year and actually finding it difficult to galvanise their team and, you know, get decimated by injuries because sometimes you just ride the wave of luck.
No, fair enough. No, Wentz, not luck.
They wish they had luck.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you mentioned the Redskins. Obviously, they are currently the division leaders, but you can't imagine that staying that way for long. We'll dive into the
especially with that recent news of signing Reuben Foster.
Oh God, yeah, no, well, let's get into that right now. I guess Reuben Foster has been got waived by the 49ers. He was a first round pick last year, and he was already had some dodgy stuff going on a few months ago.
Domestic abuse related.
Exactly. And they, when the charges got dropped, they let him off. But now the same sort of stuff has cropped up again and they cut him immediately, which I think is the right thing to do. But then the Redskins have signed him and they have come out saying, you know, he might never play, depending on what happens. But, I mean, it's kind of crazy to know that a guy who is, in all likelihood, been beating his girlfriend semi-regularly has got an NFL contract, whilst someone like Colin Kaepernick, who all they've really done wrong is protest for black rights, is kind of NFL kryptonite and is not even allowed to be mentioned in an NFL, you know, general manager meeting. It's very hypocritical, if that's a word.
No, that is not a word.
Hypocritical.
Yeah. Go with hypocritical.
Hypocritical. I was going for
not
a word.
Not hypocritical.
Anyway.
But yeah, so obviously you're going to draw parallels to the Kaepernick, and that is an insane situation in itself. The Foster one, if you just go back to that for a sec, I think he's on the commissioner's exempt list. So that means he probably, right now, he's not going to be able to play. But the Redskins, if he does get cleared, have first refusal, I guess, which is embarrassing for them.
I know. You kind of think, you know, do you really want to sully your reputation there is a potential gain, but, you know, you're now basically condoning potentially domestic abuse, and a lot of people will not be happy with that as a message being sent across. Yeah.
And the Eagles actually did reach out to the local county sheriff, I think, to find out more information to see if... So that sounds like... Depending on what the report was, they might have signed him, which he has had cases of domestic abuse. I mean, we can talk about this for a while, but, you know, the Eagles don't come out as saints either, although they did a bit more due diligence.
Yeah, but the Saints come out as saints. But no, I mean, another similar scenario, which has kind of now played out, but was who was the guy at the Browns who was the Eagles last year, and then he got...
Michael.
He went to the Browns. He got done for
insider trading,
and then he was able to play for. Well, I think only he was played. He allowed to play for the first 8 or 9 weeks of the season until they
Michael
find,
Kendricks.
Yes, no. Kendricks. They finally suspended him, and it's like, how's that allowed? I mean, he literally has a legal dispute going on, and he's allowed to carry on being paid millions. I think the NFL system is very flawed, considering, you know, the things you can get away with versus the things you can't seems very chalk and cheese at times.
We should just make the rules. You know, there should be an X Factor related, you know, rules panel.
I mean,
get the audience voting.
Fair enough. Yeah,
I don't. And they'll vote wrong because they're all American.
Yes. This is for you, Greeny. The Chargers are looking quite good.
Well, yes, they bloody are. Although I was thinking about it, and it doesn't feel like a fairy tale season. It doesn't feel like this is finally the year we're going to win the Super Bowl. It feels like this is the year we're going to break our 7-year drought of making the playoffs.
That'll
and then
nice.
Limp out. It would be nice to be there. It's nice to be at the party.
Yeah, exactly.
But we do have a strong team. We just have... I don't have a lot of confidence in our coach in terms of making decision making, and I don't have... I just feel like we're still going to lose to poor time management at the end of a game or just momentum during a game. I just feel like we could peter out any time. So prove me wrong, boys. Jackie,
fair
boys.
Enough. And whilst we're on the topic, we haven't had a podcast since the game a couple of weeks ago that was meant to be in Mexico. That I'm sure America are glad that was remained in America, which was arguably one of the best NFL games of all time. The Rams hosting the Chiefs in that absolute monster battle.
So your brain trying to think how to describe
that? I was just thinking about that game and it blew my mind. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And I felt really honoured to actually watch it live because obviously I'm, about 20 hours ahead of the US based in Australia and I'm watching it at midday or 11 a.m. and I'm trying to work at the same time, but my eyes did
not
even look at the screen for even a second during that game because it was just
your
all out action.
You were looking at, you were looking at the action.
Okay, I was watching the game. Yeah, I was looking at the game. I couldn't look at my work screen because it was just, even during adverts, it was just my mind was racing of like, what's going to happen? If something's going to happen during the advert because it's just things are happening so quickly.
It was. I watched. I was going to stay up to watch it, but what I decided to do is wake up early the next day and watch the 40 minute. Full highlights on Game Pass. And you know when you watch on YouTube the highlights the next day and it just shows all the big plays? The 40-minute highlights, which shows every play, was, you might as well be watching the highlights because every play was no play resulted in like nothing. Every play was a highlight. It was ridiculous. It was non-stop. And like, it was just 43 minutes of just electric madness.
And it's weird because like no actual positional play comes off as, oh, they had a poor game.
Yeah, because even there were some defensive scores. I mean, I know, whilst there were defensive scores,
you had 54 points and 51 points.
But I mean, that's the first time, for people who aren't aware, that both teams in a game have scored over 50 points in history. And that's, that kind of sums up the game. But I mean, imagine scoring 51 points, which I think has only happened, has happened in total, I think less than 10 times or around 10 times in the whole season. But, that's an amazing thing to do in a game. But to lose with 51 points is bonkers.
He's the only quarterback to score over 40 points in two games and lose because they lost to the Patriots as well.
Oh, wow.
So, but is Tyreek Hill like a top five wide receiver in fantasy for next year?
He has to be. I mean, he's the number one by a long way this year.
Is he?
Yeah, he's number one. Of course he is.
I thought Antonio Brown might still.
No, Antonio Brown's about five or six. I think it goes, it's Hill, Thielen, Devontae Adams.
Of course, Thielen.
And then it's a kind of a mix of Brown and Julio somewhere around there and Hopkins in that little first round group kind of staying all
little bubble
together.
Keenan Allen's going to get there.
There we
by
go.
The end of the season.
You'd like to think so, I'm sure. But I just thought we'd talk about that a little bit. So in terms of the playoff standings, we thought we'd have a quick look at, who's going to make the playoffs and who might. Cemented in the AFC, we've got the Chiefs with Mahomes, the Patriots with Brady, the Texans, who started off 0-3 and then have become the first team ever to start off 0-3 and then win 8 on the trot.
It's impressive how they're doing it because they just seem to be eking out these wins.
They haven't
actually
been very good. Like they literally have won. I think out of those 8 wins, I think 5 or 6 of them have been within one score. Like, and 3 or 4 of them have been the fact that the other opposing team has missed a kick in the last minute against that. Like, they really shouldn't be 8-3, but fair play to them.
But it's amazing to actually see Watt and Clowney play together in defense for the Texans because They're actually proving to be an elite defense right now.
Oh, absolutely. Merciless and Tyrann Mathieu.
They are merciless, you're right.
There we go. And another team that, hopefully for you, but I think are pretty much securing themselves in the playoffs is the Chargers.
They're 8-3, and obviously you've got the Chiefs ahead of them, which is one game ahead. But I don't know if they're cemented yet, I think, because I still think the Steelers are playing the Chargers this weekend. If the Steelers win, even though they lost last week to the Broncos, I think they have that opportunity to
I guess, but the Steelers
actually,
are
going to no, win their division.
Yeah. You're going to be the number one wild card.
So it's really
spot.
The Colts that.
Exactly, and you're two wins ahead of them. So I think you're pretty much guaranteed. It would have to really go wrong right now, especially now you've got Bosa back.
We've got to play the Steelers and Chiefs in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, the Colts.
I'm hopeful.
The Colts have got to play the Jags this weekend, so. Oh, that's not quite the same, is it?
Also win.
Some of the teams in the hunt are, like you mentioned, the Colts. The Steelers should win that division, the Ravens are looking kind of sneaky again, similar to the Texans, just sneaking wins. And then we've got the Broncos, who have had two very good victories against the Chargers and against the Steelers,
and they've got an easy win
schedule. So they
well
could
easy
go
win
on a...
coming against Bengals this yeah, weekend with no Dalton, no AJ Green.
Up. And so they could be, the AFC
darlings.
Yeah, well, no, your division is looking
AFC
like a
West.
Very strong. Yeah, AFC West, sorry, with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and potentially the Broncos.
How about those Raiders? How are they doing?
Well, apart from them, they're letting the side down.
Number one pick.
The Dolphins. I mean, I feel a bit bad mention. Like, I thought they're worth a mention, but I don't think they've got the longevity to push for the actual playoffs. But a team that has hit form at the right time, and I feel bad that JP isn't here to hear me say this, is the Browns. They could potentially finish strong and make a push for the playoffs, and that would be very exciting. I think, you know, they're looking good.
They'll fall short ultimately, I think, but I think it's one of those teams that is capturing the imagination of the country. Everyone's loving a bit of Baker.
The country being the UK or
the countries,
there we
the
go.
Globe.
Yeah, remember, capturing just one country.
Maybe just the UK. Maybe they hate them. but no, he came across very well in Hard Knocks and
Baker,
and he just seems like a good leader. And obviously, he's thrown for 400 yards last game. Oh, sorry, under 400 yards, but four touchdowns.
What a perfect passer rating, albeit against the Bengals, who are proving to almost have like a record-breakingly bad defense. But, you know, you still got to do it.
Yeah,
and but no, they're
I'm excited to see if they do make it. Hopefully, not at the expense of the Chargers. I mean, I think the gap's too big.
Yeah,
but
you think they're four wins behind you, but I think they're only two wins behind the Ravens in their division. You know, we'll see what happens.
I feel like the Ravens are just going to do a Texans kind of. They'll just win without impressing at all, and they'll just manage the clock.
Yeah, in the NFC, we've got.
We'll just run through these quickly. I think it's
we've got the Saints, the Rams, and the Bears, who look like they're pretty much guaranteed the playoffs. And then, got some kind of teams that you'd expect to be doing better. Like the, we mentioned the Redskins are currently leading that division, but so many injuries, including the horrific Alex Smith leg breaker.
You know, I couldn't even watch it. It
was really bad.
Okay. Is it like Gary Boost for Coventry?
I mean, it was like jelly at the end. It was just not good.
Oh, like
and so, you'd really think they'd struggle to kind of win that division now. The Cowboys might, be the beneficiaries of that collapse.
Because Amari Cooper is obviously proven to be a good signing, although it was an expensive
first
round pick.
It was a first round pick, and everyone thought, oh my God, that's a lot. But I mean, he's proving like he is that missing piece in their offense, and it takes what it takes. And
now they know what they've got in Dak, which is actually someone they can invest in.
Exactly. It's hard to see when he's got no receiving options at all. So no, they're looking decent.
But I don't like them going after Gruden, going like, oh, what a failure there, because to get a first round pick.
Yeah.
But then I think it was just good business for both sides.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's proved that way. I think at the time people thought the Raiders did really well, but the boys have potentially found themselves not a steal.
I don't like the reference to the boys, because that just it's a Celtic thing.
I'm sorry.
I can't tolerate it.
Apologise. The Vikings look like they might be the in that division, which unbelievably the Packers have just. I mean, what has gone wrong with it? Aaron Rodgers. That amazing stat about Aaron Rodgers that's come out recently, that in his career he is 0-37 at. When it comes to being the fourth quarter comebacks by being more than 1 point behind against any team with a winning record in his NFL career. So he's never come back by more than when been behind in the fourth quarter. It's a hard stat.
I need to be in Bletchley Park to actually figure out what's going on.
Bear with me, but yeah, but it, once in the fourth
so
quarter.
So he doesn't. If he's behind in the fourth quarter
to a good team,
he's not going to overturn.
He's never won.
Which is bizarre.
It's crazy.
But this season, you know, he set very high standards, but he's got 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns and one interception.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
20 touchdowns and one interception, which is superior to a lot of...
Oh, it's an amazing ratio.
But yet again, you go like, oh, what a flop. He's shit.
Yeah, he sets very high standards. And also, this has been a kind of crazy quarterback year. But
he's throwing the ball away a lot. He's actually not moved the ball down the field. And as my fantasy quarterback, I fucking hate you.
And I mean, Mike McCarthy surely can't be long for that job.
Mick McCarthy in. Maybe he'll do a better job.
Exactly. And other teams that are looking like they might make a push. The Panthers, although they've lost two in a row, they're quite in a strong position. The Seahawks, with their newfound running game, are looking good. And, you know, probably the Cowboys are going to win that division, but the Eagles aren't out of it despite their, you know, like we said, despite their disappointing season.
I don't want to see them make the playoffs.
No, I think it'd be quite humbling to see them to miss out. That brings us to the halftime snacks, as we always do. This is for Zing Zing, the greatest Chinese in the UK, as voted for officially by the industry. And you can get 20% off, and it's 20 bites, 20 B-I-T-E-Z, Brits in the end zone, 20 bites to get 20% off your Chinese takeaway. Greeny, the long-awaited return of Top 3 Town is upon us.
Please don't build it up to be
I mean, don't worry, I can assure you no one has high expectations, but I'm sure you'll fill them no matter what.
I'm sure I'll fill them up. All right, I was going to do my top three as weird searches I tried to do in order to get great top three information.
Meta.
Because my two searches were like animals who look like NFL players and NFL players with weird fetishes. So
nice. I mean, please don't look at my search history.
We can. So this one I've gone for is food named after NFL players.
Wow.
Restaurants where they've named a specific dish after a player.
Okay.
Not like coconut was origin from...
Yeah, Coco Johnson in the 1953 winning Super Bowl team.
Wow, that is great knowledge something that
doesn't happen. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got this is an easy one. Roethlisberger.
Oh, here we go.
So it's a Steel Big City Ben. Burger. What makes it a Roethlisberger named after the big, hefty quarterback? It's just got a lot of hot sausage, hot peppers, eggs, and a big chunk of butter. On
Very
a beef
nice.
Patty.
So Roethlisberger is a big tub of lard with a spicy sausage. Nice.
That could, yeah.
Very nice.
Rapelisberger.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Let's not do that.
No. Okay. Now, second one, we got Dangerous Dog, which is named after which quarterback?
Dangerous Dog.
Dangerous.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. So this was actually during the... last time they made the Super Bowl, and it's a hot dog with cheese, onions, honey sriracha sauce, and then he's got tortilla strips, which are coloured in Seahawks colours, so there's green and blue.
Oh, that doesn't sound like it would be very appealing to
Probably not appealing to eat a green and blue mouldy dog.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear.
But my favourite is, it's always Chad Okosinka. I feel like he comes up every top three. A special shout out
to him. The gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, he's amazing. So he had Ocho Cincos, which are cereal. So he had a cereal named after him, which was meant to be for charity. The only thing is that the helpline...
He kept all the money.
He most certainly did, but the number on the back, which was meant to be the helpline, actually led to a phone sex line.
Sorry? How does that happen accidentally? Is that legit? That's,
according to this Rogue article I read.
That's hilarious.
I tried to call it, but, you know, it cost me a fiver.
That's amazing. Fair play. I like that.
I love Ocho Cinco.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
And I love your top three, Tam. Well done.
Oh, thanks, man.
Now for a segment based after a UK TV show, as we like to do, is Strangers, which is a new show, apparently, according
What's
to
What's that Greeny. About?
I don't know. I thought when he said strangers that he was talking about Power Strangers.
You know when you make a joke out of another joke and no one knows what the original reference is? No, that's just happened.
Everyone knows what Power Rangers are, but no
what
one...
What has Strangers got to do with anything?
It sounds like... I didn't know what the show Strangers was, but apparently it's
And how's this relevant
show.
To NFL?
I don't know. I thought I'd mention it. But this game, well, the purpose of this game is to name a talented pairing that hasn't quite paid off this year for both in real life and fantasy, due to a lack of a connection, a.k.a. being strangers.
Love it. Very good. So let's just do one or two each. You know,
okay,
quick.
Go on. I'll let you start.
Okay, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham. You know, we
like
all
that.
Expected preseason Jimmy Graham to be this touchdown monster. We never expected him to get 1,000 yards, but we thought we'd get 10 touchdowns every time in the end zone. We thought we'd be looking Jimmy Graham's way first and foremost, but it just hasn't happened. There's no connection there. He's got a broken hand now, so you don't expect him to really contribute towards the end of the season. But
he can't do much worse.
It's been disappointing, and it just you've got that whole history of Aaron Rodgers not really doing much with a tight end, and maybe it's just Aaron Rodgers not wanting to throw to a tight end. He wants more separation.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I mean, yeah, they're both very talented players, but just hasn't. It just hasn't happened in the slightest.
They're strangers. Power strangers.
One I would say is, and this is kind of flows over to a bit of last season as well, is Jameis Winston and DeSean Jackson. Obviously, DeSean Jackson had a hot fire start to the season, but that was obviously with Fitzmagic. And, you know, DeSean Jackson has got a long career of being a very good wide receiver, but just hasn't happened with Winston. He hasn't had that connection with him. He's thrown to... Well, they have got a lot. You know, they've got Mike Evans. They've got but two... Well, I know Howard's out for the season, but they've got two good tight ends.
You got Godwin.
Got Godwin. And he just doesn't look really that often to DeSean Jackson.
I think he's just... He's overthrown him. There seem to be a lot of schemed plays where they're going to go long to him. But Jameis Winston is just very poor at throwing it long.
Yeah,
unless he's got Evans, who's 6'5", able to just jump 10 feet and catch it.
Yeah,
so I think Jameis is reaching the end of his time.
I think so.
Maybe one more year.
Yeah, we'll see. And you know, Jameis and DeSean, therefore strangers.
All right, let's do another one. I guess I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, who has had a great connection with everyone, and Samuel L. Watkins.
I really hope his middle name begins with an L.
Because Watkins, you know, when he was at Buffalo, he was looking at a potential top five wide receiver.
Well, he was drafted in that masterclass of, you know, of wide receivers. He was drafted ahead of OBJ, ahead of Mike Evans. And yeah, he's you know, it's been a shame.
It's been a shame. He's had some injuries and he was signed for like 15 million at least. So
I think it was like a 15 or 16 million a year contract. It's kind of crazy considering, yeah, they haven't really had to utilize
They've not much. Had to use him, but you see like Chris Conley get catches instead of Watkins. But you just
Well, that was in the game, that was in the huge game where Watkins played four snaps and then missed the game. I think
Well, Watkins he had a bad toe. But you know, yeah. he has utilized all other wide receivers, and it seems like maybe there's 40, 50 yards there and four catches, but you've not seen that one big game where they've just leaned on Watkins.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough, but it's kind of strange because he's had that similar role at
Strangers.
The Rams. He had the similar situation at the Rams last year where he was signed on a one-year kind of big deal and, you know, was very much, you know, second or third fiddle. But, no, Strangers. One I would say, I've got a few here. One I would say that is has been a bit frustrating is Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson, certainly last year and the very end of the season before, was looking like a really good wide receiver. And, you know, it's not like he had great quarterbacks throwing to him, but he was looking, you know, he was a top 20 wide receiver last year in fantasy. And, you know, he's great on the deep ball. And he has shown it. He showed it in that one game. He had two absolute bombs in one game earlier in the season. But Darnold has just not been able to kind of be on the same page as him, and he's been completely fantasy irrelevant, apart from that one week, pretty much. And it's kind of a shame because Darnold, it's not like he's got many other people to throw to. And it's, you know, that's another one that I would say fits in the category of strangers.
There like we go.
That was a fun segment. I like that. So now we're going to move on to fantasy playoff predictions. This is where we'll give a few examples of various players that either will help you in the fantasy playoffs, i.e. week, depending on week 14 to 16 or 15 and 16, depending on your league makeup, who will either help you or hinder you in that most important run of the season. So we'll start off with a stud who so far has been a stud this year, who might let you down in the playoffs. Greeny, have you got any examples?
Why don't you kick off with yours first and then...
Okay, I'm going to start with Adrian Peterson. He is a future Hall of Famer and has had a surprisingly, I think to a lot of people, very good season. But now with Alex Smith going down, their offensive line being absolutely decimated... and not the easiest of schedules coming up, I think he will struggle to keep that momentum going. Although, I could be proven wrong because he's kind of been proving us all wrong all season. But, it would be tough. I wouldn't put a lot of reliance in him rest of season.
Okay. I'm going to go with George Kittle, who's kind of revolutionised the tight end landscape this year. He's come out of nowhere to be truly elite. But in the next few games, he's got Seattle, Denver, Seattle, Chicago, and then LA Rams. So there's a very hard matchups there. You've got a quarterback, got your rookie quarterback. You've got very few wide receivers outside of that. Surely any defensive coordinator just goes, get two men, get three men if you have to on George Kittle.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get runs up. They're not going to get yards up.
Get runs. You've been watching cricket in Australia. You're giving the game away there.
Bloody Barmy Army.
No, yeah. That's interesting, Tom. Yeah. No, I like that. Another one I would.
No. We'll get to the next one.
Next one. We're moving on hard. A fantasy stud who has hard...
That was like dog training. No, yeah. Down boy.
I'm getting a treat later, that's fine. Fantasy stud who has hard matchups in the playoffs, but will still boss the playoffs. I think for me, the obvious ones to go for, who, when you go in the playoffs, they'll have red, that red text on your screen that always is very daunting, but... you're going to have to ignore them, and it's the stack of Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I know that's a very easy one to say, considering they're the number one quarterback and number one wide receiver, but you've just got they're matchup proof. They have got some of the biggest and hardest defenses to come up against, but you can't move away from them. You can't pivot.
So now do an actual answer, don't you?
Okay, I'm going to go Kenny Golladay. They have one of the hardest playoff schedules, but...
Buffalo, Minnesota.
Exactly. And? I thought you were going to say a third
one. Oh, okay. Green Bay, if you make it to week 17.
I was going to say,
week 14 is Arizona.
There we go. So Arizona, the Bills, and
Minnesota.
They're three very tough matchups for wide receivers, but he has no one else to throw to. And he has shown he is very talented, and I think he will be able to get it done. So, yeah.
Yeah, I ride in the Golladay wave currently, so hit those targets, boy. I'm going to go with Julian Edelman. So, okay. They do have hard matchups coming. They got Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo. You're all going to see the Reds on the Fantasy Pros or whatever website you use, but the Patriots just tend to get hot towards the end of the season, and we've not seen... they've kind of actually been going under the radar. They're winning games. They're going to make the playoffs quite comfortably. And even in hard matchups, you might see the wide receiver one, which would be Josh Gordon, being locked down. And, you've just got Edelman, who just naturally finds space, and he's a slot receiver, so... he's going to find that room, and that he's got that connection with Brady.
Are you not worried about the strange oddity of last few years of Tom Brady having a really bad week 16.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
He has had a really odd kind of streak of having a weird end to the season where he hasn't looked great. And especially with the reliance of Sonny Michel coming back and potentially even Rex Burkhead, you know, it might take some of that away. But we'll see.
14 and 15, do you feel comfortable enough? But 16, you pivot.
It depends. I'll see how I'm feeling. So the next one is a fantasy disappointment who might help you in the playoffs. So someone who so far this year has really underwhelmed, but might be redeem themselves in the playoff glory. Do you want to go first in this one?
So my one is someone you're probably playing anyway, but it's fantasy disappointment, Aaron Rodgers. And he's had hard matchups the last few weeks. He's probably the quarterback 12, approximately. Now, he's not hitting that consistent 20, 25 points, which you'd expect.
It's something crazy. He's only been in like a QB one like once this or twice this season. It's crazy.
It is mental because he's just not throwing the ball down the field. He's having a few chunk plays and he's just conceding possessions all the time, consistently. I just feel that they are going to have to run the gauntlet to try and make the playoffs. They won't make the playoffs, I don't think. They're not a strong enough team.
Yeah, but you see Rodgers. They've got a 3% chance of making the playoffs, so I think.
And if anyone can do it, it is Rodgers. So I think he'll give a good go at it. They've got Arizona, which is a very winnable game. They've got, let me check who else they've got. They've got Arizona and a few other teams.
No, they do have
Atlanta,
a good schedule.
Chicago, and the Jets.
Yeah, no, they exactly. So they have got a good schedule for quarterbacks and wide receivers. I mean, I had Marcus had a Scantling in this list. I mean, that's
you also had Amari.
I did type in Amari. I meant to say Amari. Amari is potentially in for a good end of the season.
Amari Cooper, that is.
Amari Cooper, but I'm going to go with Demaryius Thomas. I think he showed this week that he's still got the touchdown threat, and the Texans have got a very good playoff schedule for wide receivers. And they, you know, whilst that obviously means good things for DeAndre Hopkins with Fuller out for the season, I think, you know, he's going to have opportunities for touchdowns, and he could be a sneaky play. And finally, we've got the fantasy surprise hero. Who's going to come from nowhere and help you win your fantasy championship? Who is a new hotness on the fantasy scene that's going to win you that division?
So I'm going to go with someone who's not even at the forefront. He's not even anywhere in someone's mind right now. He's not really played. He's not scored points, but...
That's exciting.
There are a few rookie running backs who have developed this year. We've had Lindsay, we've had Chubb, we've had Barkley, obviously, superstar. But we've not, and we've had Kenyon Johnson, and we've just seen some good games from Penny. I can go on, but one guy we've not really heard from is Rojo, which is Ronald Jones. He about 3 weeks ago, he came on and had a few carries, got injured again, and I think... Even though Peyton Barber's played quite well for the Buccaneers, I feel like they've got to see what they have in Ronald Jones before they enter the draft. So I think they're going to try and unleash him and see what damage they can do, especially the scariest teams are teams which have nothing to win or lose. They just, they're just playing to see team chemistry, and sometimes you see big points come out of them.
I like that. That is a bold take, but I don't disagree. I think that could be a decent shout.
You're going to pick him up immediately, aren't
you?
I
mean, I've already just done it. Oh no. I mean, the two that spring to my mind are, well, the one that springs to my mind at the moment is Austin Eckler. If Melvin Gordon's injury, which is very unfortunate for you guys, but if Melvin Gordon's injury keeps him out until, you know, maybe the end of the regular season, Austin Eckler becoming, you know, the de facto number one running back for, you know, a high powered offense with a decent run in, he could be the difference.
As the resident Chargers fan, I will say that I actually foresee Eckler, who I did actually last year, I called Eckler's breakout.
You did?
Eckler, I still see him being used in the change of back role because they want him to be primed in that role for the playoffs. So I think we'll see, which we did in the last game, a lot of Justin Jackson. And Eckler had a great high school. We talked about how successful he was and, you know, 60 touchdowns or whatever. Justin Jackson broke the record for the most amount of yards in the FBS college. So he has got some... He's small and undersized,
he
but he
to
has...
the Facebook school.
He has got some... I don't know what the word experience. No, he's got that talent.
He was a seventh round pick, and I don't, you know,
because he was undersized. But you know, Russell Wilson was undersized.
No, that's fair. No, it's decent. But you know, it's a decent point. But I still think, you know, last time out when Melvin Gordon missed a game against the Titans, Eckler got the majority of carries. I think that will still manifest itself. I think that Justin Jackson got a lot of carries because the game was so out of hand, and that, you know, they wanted to, you know, make sure they didn't get two injuries in the same game.
And
but, you
maybe
know,
they're impressed now.
Yeah, potentially. We'll see. We've got a few questions from Twitter that we're going to answer before we leave you. Rodrigo says, which recent waiver wire players will win Fantasy People Championships? That's similar along the lines of what we've been talking about. But I'm going to go with Gus Edwards. I think I was looking to acquire Alex Collins for a while because of how plush their running back strength of schedule is for the rest of the season. And then I realised that was folly. Let's just get the new running back one for the Baltimore Ravens, who's rushed for over 100 yards in these last two games, and he's looking very good. I think Gus Edwards could really have a big impact in fantasy playoffs this year.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they don't bring in too much of Ty Monty or Alex Collins, then
Ty Montgomery, all they gave up was a seventh round pick in 2036. So, you know, I don't think he's much of a
can
threat.
Of Coke. Yeah, so the waiver wire guy I'm going to go for is Cameron Brate. Obviously, OJ Howard got injured for the Buccaneers, and Jameis Winston loves a tight end. So, in a disgusting tight end landscape, you've got a man who can get you a touchdown and 50 yards.
No, I think that's a great shout. And so, I said, you said Cameron Brate, and you have Cameron Brate in our fantasy league. I said Edwards, and I have Edwards in our fantasy. I mean, it's a coincidence.
Slight bias?
Yeah, well, maybe, but I think we've both done well there. The next question is from Lauren. Actually, it's a two-part question she sent. She said, which teams will have a new quarterback next year? That's quite a good question.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have a new quarterback.
That's the obvious one, I believe. I'd say
the Giants will have a new quarterback.
Agreed. The Raiders is an interesting one, whether they hold on to Derek Carr.
If they've got a high pick, I can definitely foresee them getting that quarterback and then just seeing if they can trade Derek Carr. If not, you've got two more years to actually train a quarterback behind the scenes. Although, you know, you've not really seen that anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I think the main two are the Jags and the Giants, and potentially the Buccaneers. You know, we've said that Jameis Winston might not be long for Tampa, and Fitzpatrick. You know, they've both been dropping. Well, both been dropped multiple times. It doesn't inspire confidence in either of them. So, you know, maybe they move on.
Very possible. And I think there are a few other teams. You've got the Dolphins there. They're not happy with Tannehill, I don't think, in his development. You've also got Redskins. Will Alex Smith recover in time? So you might need to look beyond Colt McCoy.
True. And no, fair enough. And the second part of that question was, who do you reckon will be in the position to draft the first quarterback in next year's draft?
Well, the Raiders will definitely be in a position to do so. Whether they choose or not to take a quarterback, they could trade back.
Yeah.
You know, will putting Cody Kessler in, not having Leonard Fournette and having a whoever your offensive coach is right now, but it looks like they could be in tank mode.
Honestly, I was in that position where the 2 weeks where we came very close to winning, the last 3 weeks where we came very close to winning. The Colts game where we lost 3 weeks ago, I wanted to win. But once that was done, that was pretty much the season over. We threw away a lead against the, the, the Steelers, I wasn't actually that devastated. I'm just like, let's just get a good draft pick. We lost to the Bills. I'm like, again, it's really embarrassing, but let's just get a good draft pick. You know, the season's done. We're not going to make the playoffs. Let's sort out our future and get a good draft pick. And it's a position that it's kind of taboo to talk about in the NFL, but you kind of got to do it. And you know, the Raiders are definitely doing it. But yeah, I think it's between the Giants and the Jags. Who's in a position to take that overall quarterback number one, or you know, the first quarterback, let's say. And finally, Chris said, what is our opinion on the new Harry Kane Spurs NFL jersey? Have you
Chris,
seen this?
I don't care.
Fair enough. That's I'm sure that's the answer he was hoping for. I thought it was... It doesn't actually look ugly, which is quite... But, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Does your Chinese reseller have it in stock? Because that's the only reason you'd have it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't actually buy anything. It's like £90. It's crazy.
That is a bit too much. No, I did think it looked quite nice, but I just don't see the scenario you're wearing it.
No, exactly. What's the... if you're a Spurs fan, you'll wear a Spurs... Spurs shirt.
Unless
if you're an NFL fan,
yeah,
you'll wear an NFL shirt. Unless
you're one of those American football fans that you want someone whilst having a beer outside of Spurs to go, oh, you like American football too, and you know, strike, which I may see you doing.
Or, I mean, I guess which what they, this is the logic they were going for is obviously because we're having going to start having a lot of NFL games at the new Spurs stadium, there may well be a new kind of plethora of people becoming interested in the NFL who are Spurs fans because they're playing at the new stadium and don't have a team, but they're like, okay, well, they're playing at our new stadium, therefore I should maybe watch some NFL, but I don't have a team, I support Spurs, maybe they'll just... That's a potential avenue, but it is very strange, isn't it?
That's more logical.
Yeah, but it's a
but
very...
But it won't
odd
happen.
No, probably not.
When they see
anyway,
the crappy stadium.
There we go, Chris, that's your answer. And that's all we've got time for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you follow us on @Brits_endzone, as always. And email us at BritsEndzone@gmail.com for any questions or anything you want to discuss. But yeah, keep up on our Twitter, and hopefully we'll be able to squeeze in one more Greeny appearance before he goes back to Australia after his brother's wedding.
I mean, that's just an additional detail.
Well, that's why you're here.
If not, I'll see you boys down under, and I'm off to the sun.
There we go. Have fun. And
enjoy your winter, guys. Losers.
See ya.